So I'm trying something new, and thank you all for being so loving and so kind as I try to work out if there is a way that, you know, I can preach, which is something I really feel the Lord has been challenging me, and I really want to do it. And I love all the preparation and all the research. Just presenting is a bit deep, but harder. Okay. On the night that Barack Obama was elected as the first black president of the United States of America, the chat show host, Oprah Winfrey, is reported to have said that this was the night beyond all other nights in the history of the planet Earth. I don't agree. More on that one later. So, as Kath has said, this is the last in our series of The Messiah is Coming. And we're going to be looking at the prophecy in Isaiah 9, where it talks about Jesus as God and King. And we're going to be looking at how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies in the New Testament. For me, the anchor point in everything we're going to look at tonight are the words of Jesus in Luke 24:24, where it says, "Everything written about me must be fulfilled." Isaiah was writing his prophecies about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. This was a dodgy time for the Israelites. They were under attack from the Assyrians. Israelites were being carted off into captivity in droves. Isaiah was giving God's people desperately needed words of hope. A baby was to be born that would fulfill God's promise to David. We have a faithful God. Here's what it says in Isaiah.
"Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
Why didn't Jesus come to earth as a ready-made man? Think of the immediate impact he would have made. Appearing from nowhere, perhaps with a couple of angels or even Elijah in tow, striding into that temple, meeting Herod, meeting Pilate. The census meant that Rome had information on all the people in all the countries that they conquered, but they wouldn't have any information on Jesus. But there was a reason that God gave us his son as a baby. I love that bit. God gave us his son as a baby. Jesus came to live with us as a baby so that throughout his time on earth, he would encounter and conquer every challenge and every temptation common to mankind and remain sinless. Jesus also came to earth to put an end to sin and death forever. What is significant is that Jesus was not born unto Mary and Joseph, as we say are born unto our parents. Jesus, his birth was not going to be a blessing just to his parents. The coming of the Son of God, the Son that Isaiah prophesied, a son will be born unto us, was going to bring great joy and blessings to everyone.
Priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
So now we can approach the throne of God. We can go in happy and joyous times. We can go in times of need and trouble. We can know God's his love, his mercy, his empowering grace. Empowering grace. All because of Jesus.
Shoulders of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Governments can be temporary. They can rise and fall. And quite a lot of people are quite cynical of whether governments can actually achieve anything. The Messiah's government, his dominion over all things, will be never ending.
Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come.
Full dominion rests on Jesus' shoulders, and what beautiful shoulders they are. Shoulders that are there to give strength to the weak and sick. Shoulders that bear burdens. Shoulders that picked up and carried that cross on our behalf. Shoulders that lean down to pick up a fallen one. Shoulders that we can lean our head against when our heart aches. Shoulders that shake with laughter when we delight him.
The resurrected Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
Going back to Barack Obama, so it was said, greatest night, history of the earth. There was an expectation for Obama that he was going to solve all the world's problems, or that's certainly how it seemed to appear. Poor man. No human being can do that, and no one should be asked or have it assumed. Only Jesus can do that. My night that is the best, you know, better than any other night in our history, is the night that Jesus came to live amongst us. And the next one will be the night when he returns. King Jesus has really big shoulders. Just lean into him.
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We probably, most of us, use the word wonderful quite liberally, you know. Wonderful day today, wonderful meal last night, wonderful holiday. But when Isaiah says that the character of the Messiah as Wonderful Counselor, he is literally saying that the Messiah's character will be incomprehensible to us, that the Messiah will leave us in awe and wonder, cause us to be full of wonder. Jesus demonstrated his wonderfulness many times throughout his life on earth, starting with his conception in a virgin's womb, his power for healing, his teaching, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection. Why is Jesus also called the Wise Counselor? Well, he always knew what to say, when to reach out to a seeking heart, and when to rebuke an impetuous soul. Even his critics testified,
"Never did a man speak the way this man speaks."
The Messiah is our Wonderful Counselor because he is God, the source of truth. When he rules the earth and the heavens, there will be only perfection in his government.
And Mighty God?
There we go. Jesus is God, but he is also Mighty God. The paradox is that a baby in a manger was considered mighty. Now, I'll admit, I actually didn't know quite what the word paradox meant.
Definition of paradox coming up. A seemingly absurd or contradictory statement, which, when investigated, may prove to be well-founded in truth.
Even as a baby, Jesus was at the center of power. His birth impacted on the heavens. A dazzling star appeared in the sky. And so began the journey of the Magi, the unnerving of Herod, angels visiting shepherds, and midnight turning to midday when the sky filled with the glory and the light of the angels. And the greatest act of mighty power that Jesus carried out on earth, his death. Jesus died on a cross. His body was laid in a sealed tomb for 3 days. And then he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Jesus Christ as Mighty God He has strength and power, and his strength and power are available to all of us. Turn to him in your weakness and receive from him.
And everlasting Father,
throughout Jesus' ministry, he demonstrated his fatherly love and compassion so many times. He raised to life the son of the widow. He fed the hungry crowds who had come to hear him teach. And he told the disciples to let the children come to him. His love and compassion, they didn't end when he died. These loving and love and compassion are, they are eternal characteristics of our resurrected and eternal Saviour. This is why Jesus is our eternal Father. And if you want to know what God is, then just look at Jesus, because he is the perfect image and the exact representation of God.
And Prince of Peace.
The reigns of many human rulers have come about through bloody conquests. Jesus' rule, his rests on a bloody sacrifice. It's even in contrast to King David, whose reign and rule was dependent on power, but not peace. You can understand why Jesus, as Prince of Peace, disappointed his countrymen. They didn't want a peaceful prince. They wanted a mighty monarch and conqueror who would annihilate their foes, restore the glory of Israel, and put an end to Rome and their other foes. But our Prince of Peace did none of these things. But by his birth and his sacrificial death, he made a way for us to have peace with God. New since Adam's sin. And for us to be able to become children of God. There will be peace on earth one day. And Jesus, our Prince of Peace, will bring that peace with him when he returns.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
We need have no doubt that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will complete that work, which wraps up Isaiah's prophecy. This is taking us to the point where I want to think about some prayer. If you don't know Jesus yet as your Lord and your Saviour, then come and find one of us to talk about after the service, talk to it about. We'd love to talk with you, perhaps pray with you. If you're getting to know Jesus, but you don't really know him as your Lord and Saviour, pray with somebody about that this evening. The Lord is just waiting with his hand out to say, I got you. I'm also going to take a step of faith. And if I get off the stage in one piece, it will be a step of faith. I'm going to come down. Okay, I've been led, I've been really led here while I've been preparing the sermon for tonight. And I have this sense that there are people here amongst our church family who are feeling maybe a bit dry, or they're just aware that they've lost some of their passion for Jesus. This may be because of lockdown and no contact with people. And I also believe that there's some people here who want to go deeper. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm stood here, and I'm going to ask anybody who feels that they want to ask Jesus to just reaffirm, recommit that they want him to rule and reign in their life, or they want to go deeper with Jesus, I'm taking a step of faith and asking you to stand with me. Wow. Thank you. I'm going to start off with a prayer, and then we can arrange for us to, for there to be prayer for people later on. Father God, I thank you for the people who have stood up in faith this evening. You know where each of those people are. You know whether they need to have that spark pushed back into a flame by you breathing on it through the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's what they need, then I pray, Lord, that you will work in their lives and bring them back, set the fire alight, and give them their passion back for you. And for those of us who just want to know you more and go deeper, then Father God, meet us. And I know that you will do this joyously